Welcome to Inspiring Possible. I'm Christy Pennison, former stuck person turned therapist and dream consultant. Are you feeling stuck, overwhelmed, uncertain, or just need a little inspiration? Then I want to help you gain the clarity, confidence, and courage to create possibilities and live a life you love. Because folks, life's too short to be miserable. Welcome back, friends. I hope your week is going well, wherever you're listening and where you're listening from. And I'm really excited about a guest I have today, Miss Brenda Harrington, who I don't know if you've ever had an experience where you were striving for something. Maybe it was a goal, a dream, or a passion of yours. Maybe it was that next job or just something that you really wanted to do. And then you felt like you were denied your dream in a way, or that there were barriers that were just really challenging and that were hard to overcome. Well, if that is you, I hope you stay tuned because we're going to talk a little bit today about how to overcome some of those barriers. And then when people are trying to stand in your way, what to do about it. So welcome, Brenda, to the show.
Thank you, Christy. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. So I know you work with a lot of people because not only are you executive coach and founder of Adaptive Leadership Strategies, you also work globally in a lot of different sectors on kind of this topic. So tell me a little bit about your story and kind of what your experience has been and why you're passionate about helping people. They have had Access Denied.
Yeah. Well, Access Denied, the book Access Denied, is a result of my reaction, my response to some of the events during the spring of 2020. It just brought up a lot of my own personal experiences. I was surprised by the conversations that emerged as a result of a lot of the things that happened here in the United States. You know, my own personal story, I've certainly encountered my own experiences with feeling marginalized, perhaps feeling excluded, or not feeling the benefits of inclusion, I will say. You never know in my case if it's a matter of gender or race or a combination of both, but certainly we all get stuck for different reasons in that place. And I think it's important for us to have a strategy and a series of coping mechanisms, if you will, to get through that. Before we started, you and I were talking about a quote that I have on my book website, you know, says, you know, basically, when you hear can't, it probably means yes, you can. And when you hear shouldn't, it means yes, you should. And I think the challenge for all of us is, you know, we hear that messaging, we hear those voices and to some extent noise, and we take it to heart. And what I think is really important for people to do is really learn to kind of look within and really kind of recalibrate what it is they want for themselves and try to work on developing that confidence to move forward, right? Whether it's one step or 10, really not allowing external influences, particularly, you know, people that don't have a voice, don't have a vote in your life, to create a barrier for you.
Ooh, let's talk about that for a minute, because I think, you know, we all form these self narratives, and a lot of times it is based off our experiences. Or when people say we, like you said, you can't or you shouldn't. And I was just talking to somebody the other day who they recently, actually last year, a few years ago, they wrote a book. And they remembered that the one thing that came up for them when they were trying to write this book was them pretty much failing their English class, right? Or people telling them, hey, you're not. I even heard another person say that they ended up writing many books. And it was, this is, you're not a good writer. You should stop. But sometimes we have those external voices that we allow to enter into our head, our narrative, our lives that then hold us back. So what would you suggest for people, myself included? I'm taking some notes over here too, okay, as we're going through this, Brenda. But how do you work through that when sometimes these external voices are so loud and maybe they do a lot to really make it seem like maybe I shouldn't?
Yeah. you know, what I say to a lot of clients, as a matter of fact, is, you know, whatever it is they have to say, not to say that we don't all need feedback and we shouldn't be receptive when it comes to constructive criticism. But a lot of times what we're hearing from others is a representation of their stuff. Okay. And it has nothing to do with you. You shouldn't do it because I wasn't able to do it. Or, you know, it's my turn, not your turn, all these things. And there's actually a story in the book. One of the people, she's talking about applying for a promotion in her company, in her institution of higher learning, I should say, it's an academic setting. And a colleague basically said to her, well, no, you shouldn't. You should withdraw because this other person is more qualified than you. So you shouldn't even compete for it. And thankfully, she did not listen and she prevailed. She ended up getting the job. And the other person ended up leaving the organization. So good riddance. But we have to be very careful about, you know, the voices that we allow in. When I talk about leadership and professional development, I really encourage people to focus on their strengths. We all have them. And we spend so much time as a society being judgmental. You should be more this, you should be less that, right?
Yeah.
And the reality is we all have something else that we could be, maybe we should be, maybe we shouldn't. And so if you focus on your strengths and then really think about where your opportunities are, you will never hear me use the term weaknesses. Okay. It's about challenges and opportunities. If there's something that we want to do more of or we need to do more of, then we can do it. Okay. But you've got to get rid of that noise that's counterproductive. Okay. So think of what your strengths are. And for some people, it's embarrassing. You know, they don't think that their strengths are relevant. They don't think that they have value. And I would argue that everything, absolutely everything has value. But you've got to take time to understand it, cultivate it, love it, own it, right? And figure out how to make it work for you. And when you do that, it becomes, you know, somewhat of a superpower.
Yeah. Well, and you know, as you're talking about this, it just reminded me because, you know, there's even been things that I've came up in my life where somebody might have said, hey, you're too this or you too that, or like the judgmental aspect that we just kind of, we all fall into it. I mean, even myself included, as much as I try not to pass judgment and I try to assume the best versus the worst, I can fall in that trap too of placing assumptions or judgments on others without giving them the opportunity to really show what they have and what their strengths are. Just getting rid of that noise, knowing how prevalent it is, can really be challenging. But like you said, it's kind of identifying strengths. But I find that some people, like you said, have a hard time recognizing what their strengths are. And I know you've helped a lot of people be able to identify their strengths and be able to focus that, as I'm sure as an executive coach. How do you get people to really recognize and then own their strengths?
A lot of times we're just paying attention. You know, if I'm working with a client and I hear them say something a few times, or I'm witnessing something that they're doing over and over, I'll call it to their attention. You know, how do you view this? What do you think about it? Have you ever thought about it? And a lot of times it's truly awareness for them because they've been so busy running after this other thing, right? That they haven't paid attention. And they don't even know how to develop it. It's like, you know, it's like strength training for an athlete, right? You have to develop it and understand how to control it, how to use it. And so I think that we overlook a lot of those things because we don't pay attention to it. We don't even know they're there. This is low-hanging fruit, but some people are so funny, right? We know people that just, we look at them and we just crack up before they mouth,
I guess,
right?
A few people are thinking, coming to mind as you're saying
oh,
that.
Oh my gosh, right? And so that's really something special. That's not me, right? And
yeah, it's not me either. I try to crack a joke, but it like falls on deaf ears at the time.
Right. What a gift.
Yeah.
And so once you recognize what that is, you know, you can figure out, you know, what to do with it and how to use it.
I love how you bring the strength training analogy too, because like in a physical, I mean, it's what you're doing the same thing. It may not be a physical strength training, but it is, there's this strength or this skill that you're trying to cultivate to get stronger
right
at it. And I'm thinking as you were saying that, I don't know about you, but there has been many people in my journey, thankfully, who were able to see strengths in me and then bring awareness to those strengths that I had that I wasn't aware that I had, you know? So, I mean, we probably wouldn't be talking right here right now if there wouldn't have been people along the way that, you know, reflected back to me what they saw. And then it took me doing it, you know, to get stronger at it. I don't know about you, but I can remember a day and time in my life where I would have been terrified to have this conversation and to meet up with somebody that I'd never met before. Right. And said, hey, let's talk about this thing. That would have been, you would have found me under that chair over there. Like, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. You're talking about me.
I applaud you. Congratulations for believing in yourself and for just taking steps toward that thing that people saw in you that you didn't see in yourselves.
Yeah. Were there people along your journey that helped encourage and identify strengths in you that you were like, oh, now that's an awareness for me. I need to step into that.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, a lot of it ties back to curiosity. I say, you know, a lot that I listen as much to what people don't say, you know, as I do to what they do say, because so much is articulated, if you will, in actions and things like that, that have nothing to do with what you hear audibly. And so, you know, people said to me, how did you figure that out? I never would have thought about that. Or, you know, how did you get there so fast? Or how did you understand that? And I started thinking about it. And it never occurred to me that, you know, other people just didn't have the same consideration, if you will. Right.
Yeah.
And so that has served me well. And I think that we all have, you know, a little something that we can really nurture and make our own.
Yeah. Well, I love how you said curiosity is really one of your strengths, because I really think when you're trying to grow and figure out things or overcome barriers, then that curiosity really, then you don't see the obstacles the same way maybe as other people do. It's like, okay, well, let's be curious about why this is there and what's another way around it or over it or go through it or whatever it is. How have you developed that strength of curiosity over the years for yourself?
So I tell everyone that I have a higher risk tolerance than many. Okay. And so I'm usually not the person that says, I wonder if, or I wish I had. I go straight in.
I love it. So you're an all in kind of person. It's like, if I'm curious about that thing,
here we go. Let's give forget it. A shot. Right? Yeah. What's the worst that could happen? Which is a question I often ask. What is the worst that could happen? And if I'm okay with that answer, then we're off to the races, right? Let's go. I think that, you know, sometimes, of course, you've got to proceed with caution. But just to think about how you can move toward this thing, whatever it is, if it's a transition or a career change, if you want to develop a new hobby or skill, if you want to build a new relationship, you know, really just think it through and think about, you know, where a starting point might be for you. I don't think anybody should ever find themselves, you know, looking over their shoulder saying, I wish I had, or I wonder what if, and, you know, just no regrets.
Yeah, listen, and that is a thing that I have tried to ask myself throughout my life, because it sounds like you're the same way. I don't want to get to the end of my life and wish that I would have tried something that I didn't do. At least if I tried it and it just did not work at all, at least I learned something from it. I either learned, okay, you need to rethink it this way, or you need to develop that other thing that needs a little bit more strength training, whatever it is, at least I learned. But it is hard, because sometimes, you know, I can think about some of the experiences I've had and people that I've worked with, you know, sometimes back to those external voices, in their mind, it seems like a great idea. I'm going to go for this. I'm going to go all in. And then they go turn to somebody and say, what do you think about me doing X, Y, Z? And then that person with their own stuff, like you mentioned earlier, maybe it's their limiting beliefs. Maybe it's their personal experiences they've had that have been real experiences that have maybe kept them back in the past. And they say, I don't think so. And then you're like, but what? I thought that was a great idea. I was ready to jump. So how do you help people move into that action from that?
Keep querying. Do your due diligence. I mean, that one person might have had that opinion, but I don't think so is not enough of a reason for you not to do it, right?
Yeah.
And so really peeling back and saying, well, why don't you think so? Well, what do you see as the downside? You know, what could the upside be? And really be willing to ask open questions and find out more about what they have to say and see if there's any relevance to the I don't think so. right?
Yeah.
That's certainly one way, but that should not be a showstopper. And so in that vein, I can remember many times that people have said to me, well, why are you doing that? Well, why are you going to do? Listen, I'm not asking you to contribute to my household. I'm not asking you, you know, to any means of, you know, substance or anything. So you don't really have a vote. You don't really have a vote. And I appreciate your concern, but this has nothing to do with you.
Oh my God.
And sometimes we have to get to that point because people, you know, are not shy in some cases about sharing their unsolicited opinion.
Yes, I love how you said that. Well, listen, and I live in the South, okay? So not to rat out my neighbors or anything like that, but, you know, we like to talk down here, okay? And there is a lot of sometimes unsolicited opinions, like you said. And I just wrote down what you said because I need to remember this for myself. So I tell the listeners sometimes this podcast really for me. It's not really for them because I'm gaining just as much out of it. But one of the things that you said that I wrote down was, and this might have not been exactly how you said it, but I'm quoting this for you, okay, on this. But others' opinions are not a reason to not go for something or to that's not right. do something.
No, that's right.
Yeah. So
here's what I really want you and your listeners to never forget. I have a plaque that used to sit in my office when I was still inside, but it's on the credenza kind of thing in my kitchen, my breakfast room now. And it says, it's not dress rehearsal. Mm. Live the life you imagined. Okay. This is a one-way ticket. And so, you know, we don't get do-overs. We don't get to go back and repeat our 30s and our 40s or whatever. So if there's something that you want to do, if there's something you want enough for yourself and your life and your family, do it.
Yeah. I love that. Even like reflecting as I'm writing these notes over here is like, just what you said, you really don't have a vote. And getting to that mentality of like, if people are not contributing in a way to your life, or maybe are dependent on you for certain things, then they really don't have a vote. Thank you for your feedback or your opinion. I will put it in my little consideration jar over here. But ultimately, at the end of the day, there is no vote. And I don't know about you, but I know as I've done things that people would have cautioned me not to do. And if you're a risk taker, it sounds like me and you are alike in this way. There have been people that have cautioned me not to do things. And now that they've actually came to fruition, they're some of now the biggest believers of, yep, wait, maybe I can do the same thing too. Because I was a big naysayer, but that experience of them watching me go for the stuff that was on my heart or I felt called or led to do or that I felt very passionate about, then it gives them permission to get out of their own way and silence the noises around them to go step into their strengths,
yeah,
and follow their what they feel is they're being called to do.
No question. No question. You know, people come back years later and, oh, you know, you were right about, I didn't see it at the time, but, you know, you were right about that. And I, you know, I just didn't get it. I didn't understand. So That's fine.
But I think sometimes when we get out of our own way and we don't listen to the noise, what ultimately happens, not necessarily that it's the aim, but it empowers other people to step into their, I just call greatness or uniqueness, yeah, or strengths, yeah, and abilities to also create a path for them that they feel good. And I like how you said this ain't a dress rehearsal, folks.
It's not.
If you're listening and you think you get another shot, I mean, as far as I know, I think this is it, but you never, yeah, know.
Yeah, you don't know. We don't know.
But we don't, yeah, know, but if this was it, then right, yes.
Right. No, exactly. To step into their own light. No question. No question.
Yeah. Well, I want to just switch the topic a little bit because I think this is something that is also very important for us to talk about. Because I know that there are sometimes barriers, because once you get to a certain place, then it's also about making sure that you make space for everybody else to come on if they're putting in their effort, their energy. What do you think are some biggest barriers today just of inclusion, to inclusion and including others?
Well, it's fear, you know, very simply. People are afraid of and uncomfortable with people and circumstances that are unfamiliar to them. And so it's easier for them to, you know, surround themselves with and focus on the things that are familiar and that they like and that they recognize and understand. And I think that if we allow ourselves to break down some of those perceived barriers, what we find is that we are more alike than we are different.
Yeah. So how would you suggest for those listening, maybe they want to be a helper in breaking down some of these perceived barriers, whether the perceived barriers that they have about others or maybe perceived barriers that they feel other people have about them? Yeah. What would you say is the first step people should take in, you know, just being able to break those down, tear down those walls?
Open up your mind. Perhaps there's someone that you really feel you don't understand or that's so different from you that you could not align with them. Have a conversation with them. Learn more about them. There's an exercise that I do with clients and teams that really causes deep reflection around, you know, what are the kinds of things that make you feel included, make you feel a part of a group, make you feel a sense of belonging, right? And when you think about that, how much of those details about yourself could somebody discern just on sight, just by looking at you? If they passed you in the grocery store, you know, would they know about your values and the things that you're passionate about, and the things that are important to you in your life, your lifestyle? They wouldn't have any of that data, right? And so it's really important to take the time to peel back and to really get to know one another. And so in exercises that I do, you know, with people who are committed to the idea of inclusion, and I use the term committed seriously because I'm not into checking boxes, right? Reach out to somebody that you don't know that well and have a conversation with them. Get to know them, allow them to get to know you, and see if you have the same opinion, you know, when you walk away from that conversation as you did before you started.
Yeah. And I'm just thinking about, even in my own life, I feel like experiences shift perceptions, but you have to be open. And I think another thing when you said you have to be committed is you have to be intentional.
Yes.
Because we do stay within our comfort zones and the familiar. It's just, you know, we get scared when things are different. I was just having a conversation earlier today with one of the ladies that works with me, and we're just talking about some changes that had gone on in her life and how that change was very unsettling because it's not familiar. But a lot of times we just stay in our familiar zones or, you know, with people that we're familiar with, and we don't think to ourselves, like, what if I just push myself out of some of that familiarity and be open to just getting to know somebody and having an experience with somebody? How might that change my perception about either myself, them, the world around me? But it's so hard. I don't know if it's this device thing. I don't know why it's getting harder and harder these days. I blame this, but I think it's hard sometimes for people to just to step behind, even step out from behind a screen and have sometimes that
in general
interaction.
It is, yes. And I agree with you that the devices have added another layer of complexity.
Mm-hmm.
Because people will say things on social media and in emails that they would never say to your face, right? And so I agree with you, that has made it more challenging. And then, you know, we've been in isolation, right? A lot of people are working remotely now, and there's not this human interaction, there's social distancing that's come about organically as a result of the pandemic and things like that. So we've got to be more intentional about doing it, but it's worth it. It's worth the lift. It's worth the heavy lift.
It is worth it. I just can't, you know, one of the greatest benefits, or I don't even use benefits, unexpected gifts, maybe that's the best way for me in doing this, is being able to meet and connect and have conversation with people that, you know, we were talking about, I live in Louisiana, you live in Virginia, right? That's states away. But there really is a gift when you just take some time to be intentional and have conversations. And I also think, I didn't even think about the fact, I sometimes forget about this whole thing called the pandemic and the shutdown. Like, you know, it's like this moment in time that somehow, like, I know it happened because I lived through it and you lived through it. But I still, like, forget that it existed because it was such a strange time. But it does add another layer to that as well, because there was this season where we were kind of forced to isolate and not necessarily be as much in connection. But creating connections changes beliefs and narratives and all kind of things, but you have to be intentional about doing that is what I'm hearing you say.
No, absolutely. And I think during that dark time, you know, a lot of people just double down on that insulation, right? And so they've withdrawn even more, which is unfortunate. We really have to be intentional. I don't mean to be redundant, but, you know, in reaching out beyond that and overcoming that to reconnect.
Well, and I just love this idea, this exercise that I'm thinking about how I'm using it, going to use it with my, some of my team members, about just having the conversation about things, whether it be your values or your dreams or, hey, what was the biggest highlight of your day? Or tell me a little bit about your life and experience. And sometimes we don't always take that moment to pause, but when we do, it can be of great service and value, not only to somebody else, but to yourself as well. So
we've got to be more than a position, you know, to our colleagues, you know, because you just become like this droid, right? And so you've got to find a way to get to know each other and build relationships and see each other as human beings, you know, before you can really do any meaningful work. And that's about building trust, right? Familiarity is part of it, but just, you know, being able to trust the person, trust the circumstances, trust the relationship. And that just doesn't happen unless you get to know someone.
Man, I love that. Because I'm thinking about, you must have been in some of my conversations earlier today. No, I'm just kidding. But I was talking with one of my friends and they're like, look, I really want to give trust over to people, but I'm having a hard time doing it. But like you said, it's part of that relationship building that when it's established, then you can give over that trust. So.
No, for sure. And I don't, you know, perhaps we could talk about your team another time, but
yeah,
you know, I hear people say, well, I'm a very private person. I don't want to talk about my personal life, you know, at work and things like that. Think about things that you don't mind being in the public domain, you know, and I use a metaphor to describe this. So think about walking into a pretty typical colonial house. You walk in, you probably see the living room and the dining room. You see, maybe see a little bit of the kitchen and the family room. And then there's a staircase somewhere. And if you think in terms of a velvet rope being across that staircase, okay? So anything that is in that, you know, within the line of sight on the first floor is, you know, for public view. If somebody steps into your house to deliver something or whatever it is. But anything beyond that velvet rope is private. It's off limits, right? So think about, you know, what you wouldn't mind. Simple things. You know, I like to cook. Not me, but yeah. I like to cook.
Me neither.
You know, I like to, I'm a crafter, you know, I'm into photography. And those are where we find the intersections that enable us to get to know each other, right? I like to sing. I like to play an instrument, whatever it is, you know, and that's where you find commonality with people. People have got to be able to get to know you, especially if you're in a management or a leadership role. You can't just be, you know, that manager or that leader. It doesn't work. Yeah.
I'm hearing you say you got to be a human first.
You got to be a human first.
Human first. Yeah. And I don't know about you, but you know, this technology stuff, it keeps growing and going, right? But I don't want to work with a robot. I really don't.
No.
I mean, technology can be helpful and I appreciate working with them sometimes to help me create ideas or generate different things. But ultimately, I want to work with people.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. We all do. Even if we don't admit it, we all do. We all have that need and that desire. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, I got a lot of things to think about from our conversation today.
I'm glad.
But I do have one final question to ask you. If you were to go back to younger you, whenever that was, pick your year. And to give younger you, like with knowing what you know today, you were to give younger you a piece of advice. What is one piece of advice or encouragement or word that you would give younger you today?
Pretty much what we've been talking about, you know, just ignore those voices. And I did for the most part, but there are some things that I resisted or I avoided because I wasn't sure I'd be able to do it or I wasn't sure that it was right for me and things like that. So I would say just, you know, listen to your inner voice.
Oh, I love that. Listen to your inner voice. Well, Brenda, if people want to find out more about you, maybe they want to get a copy of your book, Access Denied, or they just kind of maybe want to learn a little bit more about the services that you offer and how you help teams or individuals, where can they find out more about you?
Sure. Thank you. My company website is adaptiveleadershipstrategies.com. The book has its own website, which is access-denied.net. I'm on Instagram as Author B. Harrington, and I'm on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Well, I just want to acknowledge you and thank you for not only listening to your inner voice and then being able to follow what the path that you felt you were following, leaning into your own strengths to then help in turn help other people lean into their strengths and develop, but also just to encourage people and being able to put out that message that, you know, I'm going to keep on going back to it. Shouldn't often means yes, you should. Because I think, you know, a lot of us in our past or in our present have gotten held back by the things we feel like we shouldn't or can't do.
Right.
And just that you're continuing to not only do that for yourself, but you're also encouraging and empowering other people to do that as well. So
thank you for that. And I just want to circle back. We've talked about the downside of technology, but there is an upside. Okay. And the upside is the interconnectivity. We can now communicate with people all around the world that we might not have otherwise had an opportunity to engage with. So for those people who are surrounded by the Debbie Downers, right, or the naysayers, find your peeps, find your group, find your
tribe.
Find
your people.
Find your people. And it's not hard to do. On LinkedIn, LinkedIn groups, you know, and many other places, you can get to, you know, people who have like interests and like values and like desires. And I encourage people, you know, not to be limited by the people in their immediate environment.
Yeah, I love that because I'll be honest with you, over the past few several years, I think those groups and communities and getting around people that thought in similar ways, mm-hmm. that were more growth minded, has really helped transform my journey. And I'm sure it has yours as well. But I mean, we can get siloed if we're just in our own environment. And so that is a great point. Yeah. Me and you wouldn't have this conversation if it wasn't for, you know, this lovely thing called technology.
I can't make a left turn and be in Louisiana, nor can you make a right and be in Virginia, right?
That's right. Yeah. Well, Brenda, thank you for being here today. I'm going to link all the information in the show notes. And so if you're listening, I don't know about you, but I was taking a lot of notes. You might have to replay this episode and take some notes yourself if you didn't have a notebook in hand. But I hope there is one thing that you take away from what Brenda said, but there's one thing I know I'm taking away, and that is ignore the voices from other people and listen to your inner voice. Until next time.
That's all for today on Inspiring Possible. If you found a little inspiration today, please go on over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you tune in to listen to leave us a comment and rate us. Also, make sure and link up with me at inspiringpossible.com to get the free Dream It, Write It, Do It workbook. And don't forget to follow us on social media and share this with anyone who needs to be inspired. Remember, if you can believe it, it's possible.